We're on the last part. Going to make it to the end today.
Yes.
So, on the final part of the Lord's Prayer, and it's the final part ends in praise, and it starts, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever." And we went through looking at part of this last week, or the week before, on about the kingdom and the power. And we finished off with Psalm 145 and verses 10 to 13. And Psalm 145 starts with in verse 10, "All thy works shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory, of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men thy mighty acts, and the glory of the majesty of thy kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endures throughout all generations." This is the psalmist David praising God. All thy works, all of creation, shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. We shall bless the Lord. The word encourages us, bless the Lord at all times. In everything give thanks, because that is the will of God. And that we shall talk of his power. The church needs to get back to seeing the power of God, so we can start talking about the power and the presence and the majesty of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're to talk about the glory of the kingdom. The church needs to begin to see the glory and the magnitude of God coming on the earth and into the church, in the services, amongst the people. That's God's plan. That when you come together with a corporate anointing, things will be different than when you're just on your own. There will be an increase, there will be a presence, a greater presence of God, there will be a manifestation of God himself. That's what the word wants to be, it encourages you and I to be seeking for and to believe in God for and to pressing into. And so we need to realise that God wants to reveal his power through his people, and he wants his kingdom to be seen through his people. And that's the only way that the kingdom of God can be revealed, through the children of God.
Amen.
Not through the world system, not through banking failures and whatever else you want to think about, but through his people. And so it starts with you and me, and anybody else that wants to join in. God wants to be, wants to see them move forward. And so the word, you know, we're encouraged that we are to be participators in his kingdom.
Amen.
All the time, God has created the kingdom of heaven. He created the earth for us to be participators in it.
Yeah.
When God made the earth, he then made Adam.
Yeah.
And so he created the earth for Adam, so that he could enjoy it and he could rule over it and he could be a participator in what God has created. And you say, well, how can that be? Well, the Bible says that God knew you before the foundations of the earth. So you already existed. God had a plan for you right before the earth was created. So God had got you in mind right there and then and said, I know what we'll do. Well, I'll create this earth. I'll create this wonderful sphere type object in a lovely blue colour, most of it, to fly out through dark space. I'll create a sun to rule the day and a moon to rule the night, and I'll establish all the stars to be around it. And then when I've done that, I'll just fling it out and let it loose in the galaxies, and then I'll let my children go and enjoy it.
Oh,
wow. And God has done all this. And so far, in all the space probes they've done, and all the probing they've done into space, wherever they've got to, there's nothing like it. Nothing to be seen like it. You know, when the first satellites went up and man saw the Earth, it's absolutely fantastic. And God put it there. And there isn't another one like it. Just like there isn't another one like you. Praise God. Aren't you glad about that? There isn't another one like, there isn't another one like me. But this is the differences that God brings out. That in all that God, and you know they say about identical twins, but there is usually something different about them that you can tell. To a quick glance, normally to the general person, they look identical. But I mean to you and to me, sometimes you meet some of our black colleagues, as I'm told it's politically okay to say, and most, if you're not careful, they can all look the same, don't they? At a glance, you won't be able to pick them out in a lineup, would you? Some of them. I mean, I wouldn't, you know. Oh, I'm not sure if that's. I can't remember whether that's. Have I met him before? Or. I don't know. It's just strange how it. But yet a white person, I don't know, you seem to. Or is it just me? Oh, thank you. I'm glad there's two of us anyway. Yes. Yeah, that's right, yeah. But I'm just talking in general, if you see somebody, but. I find it easier with white facial features, thank you, that's the word, white facial features, to be able to pick out people. But if I'm in a crowd, I mean, and we have been, you know, we once went to a wedding and we walked in and there's this great big hall with all the tables laid out. Dharma invited us to it and they'd started and we walked in and I went, whoa, I think we're the only two white people. Of course, as we walked in, everyone's going, all eyes were on us, like, you know, there were two other white people there, I think, but weren't easy to spot them, I'll tell you. But you know, and you just think, wow, and you think, you know, they're not recognisable at times. But glory to God, not all like that. You get used to it after a while, but we are to be participators in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he gives strength and power to his people. This is where the church has got to a stage where it's got so weak. Oh, we've got to be politically correct. Oh, we can't offend people by saying that, you know, Jesus is the only way, and we can't say there's only one God, there are many gods. There isn't, there's only one God.
Amen.
There's only one creator. There aren't many creators. There's only one creator. He's the God of the universe. He's the God of the kingdom of heaven. And he's my God.
Amen.
And he's the God of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father of Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus is my brother.
Amen.
So praise God, you see. So, and that's it. And I'm being politically correct according to the word of God.
Yep.
See, people change the truth, but or attempt to change laws and bend the truth. Well, this is truth, and the word says who God is. So if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and verse 18. This is God speaking to the children of Israel. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth.
Amen.
It's not the man's, it's not the world system that does it. It is God that does it. He said he's giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is in this day. God made a promise. And God never breaks his promises. And as we stand on the promises of God, as we're faithful to his word, God will empower us. When everything looks black, when everything looks bleak, God's still on the throne. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The important things haven't changed. The key things haven't changed. The cornerstone hasn't moved. The foundation stone hasn't been dislodged. It's still in the same place. The plan of salvation and the destiny for you and me hasn't changed. The earth may be shaken. Situations around us may be shaken. But God has not changed. God is not moved by the situations and the circumstances. He's still standing on the vision that he has to be fulfilled. He's still believing and he's still moving forward towards that. And no matter what is going on, God is still in control. Amen. Yes. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. In the earth, yes. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You see, God will take glory for himself. Nobody's going to steal God's glory. The issue is, everybody thinks they're going to get glory for themselves. There was a little bit of a thing tonight on the news. They were having a go at our Prime Minister. He made a Freudian slip. Yeah. Oh yes. He was coming on to speak, and he was supposed to be saying that how he bragging about or something how he'd saved the banking system, but he happened to say how he'd saved the world. So now he's got the nickname of being Superman, Brown the Superman. You know. So. They'll stick that one in and twist that one as many times as they can. But you know, some of these people think that they're saving the world. Yeah. Hey, this is God's world. You're only being allowed to live on it. You don't rule and reign on it, you guys. God is in control. And until you come into line with the things of the kingdom of God, you won't be allowed to rule and reign. Because the word tells us that God will move rulers. And we read of rulers in the Old Testament how they were made to eat grass. Yeah? Yeah, went insane basically. And then, but when he acknowledged God, his sanity came back. You know? And people think they're in charge. You're in charge just as much as God lets you to be in charge. Yeah. As much as God wants you to be in charge, and as much as God allows you to be in charge, these people, that's how much they're in charge. And when God's had enough, if they overstep the line, guess what? God's there. Yeah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. He has a plan.
Amen.
And it's being worked out. Yeah. And everybody else's plans that the world seems to think are going to work out, God is still going to work his above theirs. Because he's going to get all the praise, he's going to get all the glory, because it is his kingdom and it is his power that will rule and reign throughout all eternity. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. You know, the more I start to look at this and think at this, I just see how God is totally in control of life situations and circumstances. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. He gives strength to the weary. Do you feel weary sometimes? Oh, but guess what? God will give you strength. I can look back over the years, and when you're running a busy job, and we were running the youth work, and we think, oh, it's Friday night, we've got to go to church for the youth, and feeling tired, feeling weary. And you get there and you get involved and you find that your strength is renewed, and you go home less tired than you went out. I found that when I used to go to the Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study at the church. Sometimes I left work, didn't go home, went straight to the church, missed a meal, feeling a little bit weary of it. Having came out, or came out strengthened. Amen. I came out empowered. There was only one time I ever fell asleep in a prayer meeting, and I did a good job of it. Glory to God. It's only happened to me once, and I sat on the front row. You don't remember Mr. Beals, do you? Do you?
I used to see him at, you know, celebrations.
That's right, of course you did. Yes, right. So, well, Mr. Beals was leading the meeting, and it was in when we were in the old scout up. So, and I was sat on the front row, and front row's here, and he was sat literally on a chair just where the piano is. And we said, well, let's pray. We'd done praise and worship. And I sat down, and I put my elbows on my knees, I put my chin on my hands, and I heard somebody start to pray. The next thing I heard was Mr. Beale saying, "Amen, we'll sit up and sing hymn so and so." And I woke up just at that point in time. I had slept for 3/4 of an hour, and I had never fallen off my chair or never done a flick or anything. I'd been I don't know how it happened. I must have been absolutely exhausted, and I've only ever done it once. Never done it since. It was I couldn't believe it, that I'd slept. Yeah. And nobody knew. Well, nobody said they knew. So, I don't snore.
How do you know you're
asleep? Because I've been told. All right. Just you be careful, you. Saturday's coming. glory to God. So, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. So if you're lacking in might, God will increase power in your life. But you see, it's being connected to God, it's being connected to the Word of God, and having that conversation with God day by day. And let his power come into your life. Let his presence be seen in your life. So this is the power of God working in us. When you pray for people, many of you have prayed for people, you've felt something go through you, haven't you? And you felt, what is it that's going through you? It's the power, the presence and the power of God. And you've actually felt it. And it's like, wow, did you feel that? Just proves that God's real. It proves the validity that God is there on the throne, and he's doing as his word says. And he's sending his power, he's releasing his power through his servants. And so we can praise God for all that. And realise that God is at work, and as we pray the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, and thy power and thy glory forever and ever." We don't just worship a God in name, but we worship a God who has a kingdom, who is a kingdom, who is a king, and who is the creator, and has all power and all authority. And the great thing is, we read scripture earlier on in this study, where Jesus says that to his disciples, "I give to you all power and authority." And it's, wow. Jesus is placing the presence and the power of the kingdom of God in the hands of his people to be used to bring the glory of God and the presence of God on the earth. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 5. And you know, it says, "Who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." You and I are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last times. God is protecting us for something to be revealed in the latter times. And we need to be preparing ourselves, making ourselves available, and moving forward in the things of God. In verse 4 it says that we've obtained an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So praise God, you and I are being protected. Isn't that great? So often we say, oh God, you know, and we start panicking and we start being fearful. But God has already said He's going to protect us. As we walk in His ways, God will always be there as our covering and our protection. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. You see, a lot, you can speak a lot of words, but it can mean absolute nothing. It needs, you see, the power of and the presence of God comes out of relationship. If you've got a real close friend, that friendship is not just built on words. Because you do not always communicate through words. Do you? And not necessarily through writing. You can communicate through glances, can't you? Expressions. Body language. That you do things and you know you can talk to one another and in those realms and it's a communication that is goes deeper than just words. And when you've a close friend you can communicate like that and they know just what you're saying. And you can get to a point with where your friendship gets so close with somebody that they literally know what you're going to say before you say it. You've heard it. I knew you were going to say that. I could tell. I read it go across your forehead before you said it. Because it's about your body language, that communication. Why? Because you and that person have got that close. And you have that relationship. And you know exactly, I know what they're going to do this time. Just watch this. I remember that time when we went for a walk. And Zena says, just watch this. Philip had got Graham's map. The lads had took off. Philip was sort of semi-keeping up with them and what have you, and the lads had gone, oh, it's down here. Yeah. They were off. And we're all standing thinking. We're at top of hill. I think you've gone and got a lift, you, if I remember right. Joan was smart. Joan decided. Joan and Ken. And Ken's one who's keen walker, by the way.
I was doing first aid.
Doing first aid. So Ken says, I'll take Joan to the car. I'll make sure she gets to the car, all right. So we followed on. You're right. So we followed on, got to the top of this hill, and they'd all gone down, Philip and the lads. And so I don't seem right. This we, you know, sat and have work. So the Luke, I remember it. And Luke had managed to stand on a thorn and it had gone right through his trainer just like a nail. There was a barbed wire fence you could see in the distance and one was trying to go through fencing. And like, you know. And Philip's, you know, he's got this shoe in one hand, map in other hand, and finally he went, Zena says, watch this, map's going to go. And as she said map, and bear in mind, she's nowhere near him, right, but she can see all the body language that's going on. She says, map's going to go. Next thing, map went up in air, Philip grabbed the shoe and he shoved it back on Luke's foot, and Luke's going, still got a thorn in shoe, you know. Of course, we're all on top of it. Rolling will after about this, you see. So yeah, you missed it all. But can you see what I'm trying to explain is this thing of body language? We weren't in communication distance, were we? We were only in sight, and it was like Zena says, "Watch this, map's going to go." And as soon as he said it, he went, "Whoosh!" Map went up in air like. Oh, praise the Lord. Ain't God good, you know, and we just rejoice. And that's history, but you know, these things you can look back and laugh at, can't you? And the great memories that, you know what your friends are like, you know what some of the things, what they do, and you think, just watch what they're going to do now, like, and it's great. And in the same way, God knows you, and he knows how you're going to react in a situation and a circumstance, but he wants to give you the power to stand within that circumstance and situation so that he gets glory. That's the key. He's giving you power so that he gets glory. Wonderful. Where did I get to? 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. For the kingdom of God does not consist of words but of power. And it's not about our words. It's not about, so often people say, oh, so I'll do this, this and this. It never gets done. Oh, I meant to do it. Oh, I were gonna do it. A lot of gunners. You know. Something's prevented me. There's always a reason. You know, when God says he's doing it, he does it. You can rely on God's word to be faithful and true to us. So that's the power of God. Let's move on now to the glory of God. Psalm 24. And verse 8. The glory of God. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty.
Yes.
The Lord mighty in battle. And this is where I say to folks, let God fight the battles. He's mighty in battle. He's strong and mighty. And so we need just to welcome the King of Glory in and let him fight the battle. He's our champion.
Yeah.
In olden days of when knights were old, and what is it in olden days? When kings were, is it? When knights were bald, yeah. And knights always fought the battle for the king, didn't they? You know, they'd always stand there and they'd fight for the king's rights and stand there and defend the king, defend the kingdom. It's the other way around with our God. He's quite able to defend his own kingdom. He's defending his people. Sorry? He's better at it than we are. That's right, Graham, he is. He's a master at defending and blessing his people and showing his people how to just enjoy his pleasure of good things. And so we need to realise that God wants to, when he does it, we have to give him all the praise and give him all the glory. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 27. Well, the word tells us in everything give thanks. So no matter whether you're having a good day, a bad day, or an indifferent day, you just praise God. He's still God. Whether it's a good day or a bad day. He's still on the throne. Whether it's a good day or whether it's a bad day. Did I say 16? That's right. Somewhere wrong there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Maybe it's 1 Chronicles. Let me just check that. Yeah. It's 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 27. Yes, I mean, when you look at... as well, as Grace was saying in Psalm 24, tremendous psalm to read. In my Bible, it's entitled The King of Glory Entering Zion.
Mm-hmm.
The King of Glory Entering Zion. Mm-hmm. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of our Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek thy face, even Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be ye lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. That's really who we're celebrating. That's, and really, that's, you know, a climax to the ending of the Lord's Prayer. That would really, you know, say the Lord's Prayer and then finish off with Psalm 24 and celebrate, you know, that God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 27. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Wow. Splendor and majesty. You know, Britain, when it puts on pomp and ceremony, is the absolute best. There's nobody to touch us. When we put on a display, it is the best. When the horses parade, when the soldiers march, when the bands play, we put on such a performance. It is drilled into these guys and we are the best at it. You can watch other nations do it. It just isn't the same. We drill people, they perform in such a way, and we look at it and the pomp and the ceremony that goes on, and it goes back to ancient times. But then it says in the Word of God, there's nobody can touch God for the majesty and the splendor. And you know, there was a program on a few days ago about when the Queen was getting married, and they were trying to the TV was trying to actually film it, and they were saying, no, you can't film it. And Philip wanted it filming, and said, no, you can't film it, and you can't film in Westminster. The coronation, that was it, sorry, yeah, it was a coronation, not getting married. And they wanted to film inside the abbey, and said, oh no, it's a sacred service, and you can't film because it's sacred. And anyway, finally, they got their way. But what a ceremony, what a service, what the nations of the world saw one of the greatest events on the earth, the crowning of a Queen of England, and a ruler at that time over the Commonwealth, which was mighty at that time, great. And and so these things, all these splendors, we see them on films, and we think, wow, it's fantastic the way the horses and the riders all perform, the way they march in such time and such beat and such precision. You watch the changing of the guard, or you watch in Scotland where the Edinburgh Tattoo, and you see such a performance that goes on with such accuracy, soldiers crossing over in between, and it's fantastic, and all this splendor, and yet God, in front of God it's nothing. God says, you haven't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen my splendor. And you start to look at creation, and you look at the majesty and the beauty and the awesomeness of creation, and see what God has created. And you think, wow, this is... They say there's no one snowflake the same. That's got to take some doing. You and me would have said, oh, snowflake, they can all be the same, can't they? Don't matter, does it? Nobody's going to look that close, are they? White fluffy thing comes down it. They all look the same. And yet, scientists have examined them. They ain't one the same. Wow. Got to reflect on the fact that we look at each and every one of us and we're not the same. Fingerprints. No two fingerprints. DNAs. Yeah. Thank God for that. So you're not going to get hauled into court for somebody else's crime. Yeah. So you're special. Yeah, there's no Irish the same, is there, I reckon? So, and yet, it all happened, according to scientists, in a big bang. In a big bang. I don't think so.
They found a black hole or something.
Really?
Oh,
hallelujah. Yeah, it's probably God's dustbin where he chucks all the rubbish, the black hole. Glory. They can find what they want. But do you know something? In all their probes that they're doing and analysing that they're doing, they're never going to find God. He finds you. And you move into that relationship with him. Isaiah 42. And verse 8. And God says through Isaiah, I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another.
Amen.
Wow. Tough talk from God. He's not going to give his glory to another. All of mankind has fallen short of the glory of God. And yet God has made a way where we can participate in his glory and in his presence. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And verse 24 goes on to say, but being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. We might have fallen short of his glory, but guess what? He's starting the process of restoring us back to that former glory that he made us like, that he created. You see, we created in his image. So if his image is a glorious image, guess what? He's creating you and I back to a glorious image.
Yeah.
You'll not recognise yourselves. You'll look in a mirror one day and you think, who's that? Oh, it's me. Change. The word says you're going to be changed from one glory to another glory to another glory. You see, there's a glory on you now. Did you know that? There's got to be on you, definitely. I mean, I know I say, but you look old, ragged and wrinkled when you came here.
Thank you.
I love you too.
I know, you see, I can say it to you, Bill, because, you know, you're a friend, you're a mate, and we know each other, and it's like, give you a nod, and he's like, yeah, watch out, here it comes, backhanded comments, here we go. But, you know, if truth be, you know, it would be good, just a thought now, it would be good that when people first join, come into the church, it would be good to take the photograph, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would actually. Before and after. It's like, because they do it with Teen Challenge, you know, they get a druggie or alcoholic, take his photograph, and then a few months later, take it one afterwards. And it's like, not the same person, is it? Yeah. And it would be good. Because, well, Philip can remember him coming, can't you? He's not the same, is he? He's a little bit younger now.
Yourself from in Berkeley, California.
You're
right, you are ageless.
And this is him who's
moaning about his getting older, 48.
He's really?
13 years younger than me,
you're
right.
Yeah.
He's moaning because he's 1 foot in the grave.
1 foot in the grave, and you're like, you're looking at you thinking, well, you're older than him, and he's like, you don't look any older.
Some 40-year-olds look older than me.
Oh, glory. Yeah. And you know, he's, but you see, this is when you live in a relationship with Jesus, and the word says he will renew your strength or renew your youth like the eagles. So God, there is a renewing process in the kingdom of God, and the renewing process is through the glory of God, through the power and through the glory, because guess what? His glory doesn't change. His glory is ageless. There you go. I told you see? His glory is ageless. And so if you spend that time in his presence, You take on that glory of God and you don't look your age. Joan doesn't look her age. I'm not going to tell you how old Joan is. Some of you won't believe me if I told you. But it's great. You see, when you came to Jesus, you were a mess, weren't you, John? I don't know if you've got a photograph of just before, but if we did a before and after, we'd see the difference. And it's only through the lifestyle that God leads us into, and then the Word of God begins to work on us and begins to renew us, because it's God's power and it's God's glory that starts the process of working in us. And that's wonderful. So we pray this prayer of the Lord's, and we're calling in the kingdom of God into our lives. Amen. We're calling in the power of God into our lives and the glory of God into our lives, and we're worshipping Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the glory and the power. Because if He didn't have the power, if He didn't have the glory, it would never come into our lives. So that is, and we're made in His image, and we're being created to be like Him for a future, and we have a hope, and we can thank God for that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. But we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. So here we have it, that we find that Jesus suffered death, suffered the pain, the anguish of all that, and yet He was crowned with glory and honour, that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. Thank God He's tasted that eternal death. Tasted eternal death. You see, people think, oh, when you're dead, you're dead. Well, there's a truth, but it's not quite the whole truth. This physical body might die, but there's a place where the soul has to go. And there's an eternal death, and there's an eternal life. And thank God for the eternal life through Christ Jesus living in each and every one of us. But for those who do not know Christ, there's an eternal death for the soul, trapped in eternity. Trapped within, in a godless place. Trapped in a place where no love exists. Trapped where there's a hatred and torment. And yet for the soul that accepts Christ as their own personal saviour, there's a life of eternal joy and peace and hope, living in the presence of God. And the glory of God is with them constantly. And so we can rejoice in that. And Jesus died, it says in verse 10, so that the reason is in bringing many sons to glory. You're a son, and He's bringing you to glory. That's something to celebrate. That's something to get excited about. You're a son, and He's bringing you to glory. And so the Word is working on us, and it's changing us from glory to glory. Praise His name. And we go on to say that all things comes from God, and of His own of His own have we given to Him. So everything that we have and everything that we own belongs to God. Guess what? You don't own anything. God's lending it to you. That's right, Lynn. Yeah. There's so many people that they're hoarding things up, they're getting things to themselves. Oh, I've got this and I've got that and and it's all mine. Really? And when you die, who does it belong to then? You can't take it with you. The pharaohs tried that, didn't they? built these pyramids, and they had this idea that they made provision, and they put food inside the tombs, and they put chariot wheels, and they even put other people in with them to help them across the other side when they got across there. All this superstition. They believed that there was something after death, but they didn't understand. They had to find the creator of the universe. They had to find God for themselves. And they had all these other gods. They had hundreds of gods, in the hope that somewhere along the line they would be worshipping the one and only true God. That absolutely, maybe they'll get through to the other side. Well, guess what? They failed. Because they didn't know the God, the creator of the universe. And so we have to sort of look at this, the glory of God, and see the majesty of God. We see that in the Old Testament, when Moses went into the tabernacle, he came out and the glory of God was upon him. This is what the church still needs to be seeing today. There needs to be a manifestation of the presence and the power and the glory of God in the church. And so that people who come around us recognise it and see it and say, there's something different about you, isn't there? And they can tell immediately. They won't understand, maybe, but they'll know. They'll know that there's something different. What is it? I've been with Jesus. And they start saying, I want some of that. It's better than the drink, it's better than the drugs. I've been with Jesus. People need to realise that more and more today. You know, they say the credit crunch hasn't hit the high streets yet. Well, we just hear that finally Woolworths 800 stores are closing. That's it. Yeah, gone. Some of them will be shut before Christmas arrives. And they're saying, well, in Yorkshire at the moment, the three biggest shopping centres, designer outlets, etc., the traffic through is still up. The traffic through might be up, but what about the spending? We went the other week to the MacArthur Glen outlet, and we walked all the way around it, and I think we went nearly in every shop there was. What did we spend? We bought some instant tea because we couldn't get it somewhere else the other week. No, it weren't actually, but you know, we were gagging for a cuppa, so we bought some instant tea. So the traffic was up, yeah, definitely. We'd walked the floor a few times and didn't buy anything. Looked at it and said, what a rubbish, most of it, nothing to buy.
Well, I went in Meadowhall yesterday,
yeah.
I looked around and I saw clothes shops and phone shops. I could see two car phone warehouses with the same iPhone, but I'm looking. And what's the point of that? There were 50 yards between one there and one there.
No idea.
Gone to the dog, maybe.
Yeah, well. Well, praise God. So, and glad, you know, we're not ruled, are we, by these things? We're not ruled by it. We're not ruled by recession. We're not ruled by depression. We're only ruled by the word of God.
Amen.
God has a destiny and has set the purpose for our lives. When we truly see that this is the way that God wants us to live, and we see that God is working things out and the glory of God is upon us and working through our lives, we'll have no difficulty in giving our time, our talents, our money and ourselves back to God, because everything that we have belongs to Him. As I said, when you die, you ain't taking any of it with you. You know, you can have your bank book in your pocket, but it ain't going to do you any good when you get to heaven. Because the bank that you're banking with now, down here, does not exist in heaven. Praise God. You know, Royal Bank of Scotland, anybody else you want to mention, Yorkshire Bank, it's not in heaven. So, the only thing that's going to work in heaven is the Word of God. That's going to be a cash card. The Word of God. salvation and the praise of God on your lips will be the password to the blessings of God to continue in your lives. So, could be a good message in that one, you know.
Amen.
So I can never remember my passwords. Do you know that? Every time you've got to join something or sign up for something, you've got to put a different style or form of password, or the one that you're using previously is too long for this company's system. And you're thinking, this is hopeless, this. And so then you're into a system, and then you haven't used it for a while, and you go in and it says password. You're thinking, I've no idea. And I get on the phone and I'm ringing about some, can you remember your password? Well, let me see. I think with you, it's either going to be my wife's name or my mother's maiden name. And you can hear them going, we've got one here, haven't we? So, I'll try one of them, and they'll say, no. Oh, I'll say, it must be this one then. So, yes, I've got to ask you another question now. Aye, okay. So, the only one that I never get wrong is, where were you born? I can remember that. I can remember that one. I always get that one right. But it's... You've been asked that once?
Where I was born.
Could you remember?
Because they were looking at my birth certificate. I said I didn't remember. I won't pick him up now.
There's always one in there. Eh? I knew someone would come in. So, but praise God. Yes, you weren't taking... I bet you were just yelling a lot, weren't you, when you were born?
The only time I were early.
Yes. Don't encourage him. It will. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Yeah. You know, it's not about who you are. And I remember once a minister saying to a friend of mine, Philip knows him, and he said to him, you stick with me, he said, and I'll make summit of you. I backed off me. In fact, I don't think I ever saw the man again. I backed that far off. And then the man came a cropper. That minister came a cropper along the way. You know, when you start uplifting yourself and you start putting God down, watch out. Because God will not give his glory to anybody else. So you've got to put God first. God first. And so that then the calling of God will come upon us and strengthen us. The other thing that we need not to do is not to stir up any evil, you know, against, you know, getting to riling and that, and stirring things up that bring out the evil. But, you know, we're to encourage people and stir up the good gifts within us, and to bless one another with the good gifts. Start giving yourselves to the things of God, to bless people in the things of God. And just watch things starting to move forwards. And God will move mightily in our lives in the future. But it's through his glory, through his power working in us, that we will see the presence of God filling our lives, the glory of God being manifest in our lives, and he will show himself through you and me to others around us. Paul urges in Philippians, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. This is what God wants. You see, if you will esteem somebody, you will lift up somebody. The word tells us that we are to restore a brother. The word tells us that we are to not to judge, but we are to discern. The word tells us to lift somebody up, to encourage them, to build up. It doesn't tell us to pull down. The only thing it tells us to pull down is to pull down the strongholds of the devil. But anything to do with the kingdom of God, it talks about build up, build up, build up, build up. So don't moan, don't complain, build it up.
Amen.
Work on it and build it up and strengthen it for the glory of God. Let us always remember never to enter or leave his presence without humbly bowing before him and offering a sacrifice of praise in Revelations 5:13. You know, the Church of England are very good at that, aren't they? Before they leave the altar. That's the pinnacle, that's the focal point in the church, the altar. And we often think, oh, it's all just ceremony, it's just things that they do, it's all high church and there's no real meaning. But there is a meaning, because they're taking the word of God on board and they're actually acknowledging the presence that God is in the high altar. God is in his tabernacle. And they're acknowledging, so they bow before him. You've been in Church of England, haven't you? And they always when they come to the before the altar, they bow at the altar. And when they leave the altar, they bow before they leave. Mm-hmm. And they're acknowledging the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the problem with sort of the evangelical church, oh, we're not doing any of that, are we? We're not bowing and scraping to no idols. It's not an idol. It's the presence of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. We threw the baby out with the bathwater. Because we said we're not bowing down to idols. And we're forgetting that when we come together, we're coming together as a corporate body for a manifestation of the glory of God. And when the glory of God really manifests itself, you will not stand. You will have to bow the knee. I will have to bow the knee. So that might be, I'm just going to throw that out as a thought. You know, with regard even to our breaking of bread service, the focal point, the glory and the majesty and the power of our God before us. And we need to remember that. We're offering to him a sacrifice of praise and of thanksgiving. And as we petition him with our, you know, so often we're always coming with our needs. What we need, God, what we need. And we're so preoccupied with our needs that we need to be blessed. We need to remember that we need to be a blessing. And as we focus on God, then God will, as we are being a blessing, God will ensure that you are blessed. Because he knows that you cannot be a blessing if you haven't got something to bless somebody with. And you have nothing in yourselves, it soon runs out. So God will continue supply to you so that you can be a blessing. God will never see you short. God will never see you suffering like that. And so we need to learn to worship him, to magnify his name. We need to give him all the praise and all the glory. And just let his name be magnified. And just speak his name out with majesty and power. And to say, at times when we come into the presence of God, you know, we need to acknowledge him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. In Revelation 5. We just, when you read that, you read Revelation 5, and there's a song that we sing, and in worship at times, and it's just built on Revelation, and we just begin to worship him, and realize that even the 24 elders who were around the throne, they bow down and worship God. That's New Testament. It's not old school. It's New Testament. And they're still bowing down and worshipping God. And so the church today should be bowing down and worshipping God. But we're so busy having a happy clappy time, making great CDs, having a good rave up, turned them into DVDs now. But ask the question, how many of them bow down and worship God? And I'm not having against having a great time. You know what I enjoy, but the point is, how many of them have ever, and how often do they bow the knee to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the only one God? How many? And how often do they think of him in those terms and those dimensions? Sometimes they think of him, I think a lot of Christians think about God, it's like you get the plastic card out, you go to the cash machine and you just punch in your numbers, your four numbers, and cash comes out. And a lot of Christians are now trying to do the same with God. Punch in the right verses of scripture and guess what? Boom! It happens every time. But there's no relationship. I do not have a relationship with a cash card machine. I don't know about you. Do you have one? But a lot of Christians are like that with God these days. Bless me, Jesus, bless me, Jesus, bless me, Jesus, for I'm in need. Thank you, God, and run off. You know, take the money and run. Take the blessing and run. They don't come back and say thank you. The next time God sees them is, God, I'm in desperate need. Last time I were here, God, you helped me. I need you again. Oh. We've seen them. Seen them come, seen them go. Seen them come, seen them go. Exactly like the lepers. The same thing, the same principle, boys. Yeah? Just to give thanks, you know. Where are the others, he said? Well, I don't know, but I'm here. He realized on the way where he needed to be. Because he'd been healed, he knew that he could go at any time before the priest. But he didn't. The other thing he realized, that leper, was that he knew where Jesus was. Right there and then. He knew where the priest was. He knew that the priest was always going to be in that temple. The temple was not going to move, but Jesus was moving around. He knew where Jesus was, so he went straight back to Jesus and said, I want to just say thank you. I want to just say thank you for what you've done for my life. You have changed my life. You have set me back onto a new destiny. I can go back to my family. I've got my life back. But I just come to say thank you. And then he went on his way. He got his priorities right. But today, we get our priorities so mixed up. Because the bright flashing lights, the demands of the world, demand, 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 demand. And the problem is we get compelled and we get sucked into the vacuum of it and we run with it constantly. Instead of saying, whoa, wait a minute. God comes before this. Getting together with God's people, bringing the glory together with God's people, is more important than the things of this world. Whether it'll ever happen, I don't know, with this church, with this congregation. But it will be a choice. Because some of us will press on, some of us will go on, and we will see the glory of God. Others may get left behind. That will be a choice that they make. That will be a choice of the church. But I want to press on. And I want to see the magnitude of the glory and the power of God. Amen.